someone that they had brought home. Her name was Anne, and she was in a home, and there was a gentleman there who saw my dad, and he was very impressed with him, and he told him, "I love your eyes." And Dad said, thank you." And he said, "Can I have them?" And Dad said, "No, I think I want to keep my eyes." He says, "No, I can get them." He's like, "They have doctors here. They can take them out and give them to me." And Dad said, "No, I think I want to keep my eyes. Thank you." And he was really offended at this. But, you know, the vision that my family has had, I'm very proud of. And it kind of gives a whole new meaning to that song Sister Amanda sings, "Give me your eyes for just one second." But it wasn't written at that point, so it's okay. But it's important to have a vision, and to have a vision that other people want to adopt. Maybe not quite like that, but it's important to have vision. And I'm very grateful that they've always had a vision. It was that vision that took us overseas, that took us into South America, that took us into Costa Rica and Colombia, and where we saw some pretty amazing things. I'm just grateful. The idea of giving has always been important in our family, and I'm glad I was part of a family that knew enough to give, that was not so afraid to give, that we let go of everything we had and moved overseas. They sold what they had and put a few of our possessions in storage and went overseas, and then when they came back, we just started over. And it's so awesome to be in a family that understands it's just stuff. That's really all it is. What we have, the things that we work for and the things that we're so afraid to lose, it's just stuff. And the things, the lives that matter in eternity as a result of giving up some of that stuff can be so wonderful. And as a result, I'm so grateful because I really love pretty things. I like shoes, as I think everybody knows. But I think because of the family I've grown up in, if somebody were to steal all of my shoes, I would be a little sad, but I would make it because as much as I hate to admit it, shoes are just stuff. And whatever it is in our lives, it's just stuff. And that's what's so wonderful, is to have leadership that understands that it's okay to give. And as a result, my life has been very blessed, and I've gained a lot of confidence. So I promised I was going to return to the theme of vignettes. And I've told you a few of the stories. So one easy definition of the word vignette is that it's a short story. It's just a little glimpse into a life. There's a definition I love. It says that a vignette is a small illustration or portrait photograph which fades into its background without a definite border. It's a little illustration that kind of fades in the backdrop. It's something you almost don't notice. It's a glimmer. It's a flicker. You almost don't even know it's there. And so when I was thinking back to things, memories of a godly lifestyle, it's hard to put my finger on a moment when I began to learn what godliness was. Because for me, I grew up in a place where godliness and good leadership, they were small little qualities, small little defining moments, because it was just the way life was. Godliness for me was a glint that faded into so many other areas of life. It was just part of it. It wasn't something that was defined. They didn't sit down and tell me, "Hey, this is what it is." They did a few times, but more than telling, as a kid, you know, a little kid, you tell them, "Don't push the red button." I mean, they push the red button, and they don't remember that you told them not to and all this stuff. So as a kid, when you live the life, it makes much bigger difference. Rather than a characteristic, godliness was a lifestyle. So I was really grateful that I grew up in a place of faith without borders, of love without borders, of peace and of prayer without borders. Each story I heard growing up had a lesson attached. So it was a vignette. There were little vignettes of godliness. So I just kind of wanted to give you guys a little introduction. This is kind of a little bit of what it was like. A lot of the stories from childhood and a lot of just some glimpses, a lot of small little looks into life growing up. At the end of the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, it talks about the virtuous woman. In Proverbs 31:28, it says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed." And I know this applies to the virtuous woman, but I think in many cases there are a lot of men who fit a lot of those definitions too. So I know it's not at the end, and it's not, well, who knows, it could be time for heaven any time now, but before it ever happens, I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you for all that you've done, for the example you've set for me, for the leadership and the godly qualities I've seen. And I just want to take this moment to stand up and call you blessed.
Lord bless you. You may be seated. We have a special song that Sister Bacon had found, and we're gonna attempt to try it. So, amen.
You answered the call and obeyed God's command. He sent you here, we know you're in His hand. Your message from the Word searches our very soul. We've seen your faithfulness and we want you to know.
Pastor,
we love you. We appreciate all you do.
And
God sees the sacrifice you've made for Jesus Christ. You pray for the lost, and God leads them to the cross. And we know one day you'll hear your Father say, my child, well done. My child, well done. You answered the call and obeyed God's command. He sent you here, we know you're in His plan. Your message from the Word searches our very soul. We've seen your faithfulness, we want you to know. Pastor, we love you. We appreciate all you do.
And God sees the sacrifice you've made for Jesus Christ. You pray for the lost,
and God leads them to the cross. And we know one day you'll hear your Father say, my child, well done. My child, well done. In the still, quiet place, on your knees in prayer, God sees your tears, hears the burdens you bear. The Lord by your side, He blesses all that you do. Through the good and bad times, He'll see you through. Pastor, we love you. We appreciate all you do. And God sees the sacrifice you've made for Jesus Christ. You pray for the lost, and God leads them to the cross. And we know one day you'll hear your Father say, my child, well done. My child, well done. Pastor, we love you. We appreciate all you do. And God sees the sacrifice you've made for Jesus Christ. You pray for the lost, and God leads them to the cross. And we know one day you'll hear your Father say, my child, well done.
My child, well done.
Oh, my child, well done.
My child, well done.
My child, well done.
I was asked to say a couple of things. You know, I could go on all night, and I'm sure each and every one of us could have something good to say about our pastor. And so anyway, you can give your pastor a lot of things. You can do a lot of things for your pastor. But there are two things that I feel that are important to a pastor, okay? This is not, you know, anything that's written down anywhere. This is just what Michael Bacon thinks, okay? So don't take this to the bank, all right? But if I was pastor, this is what I would want. Two things from a congregation. Number one is prayer. When you pray for your pastor, you should not pray for God to lift his burden, but to help the congregation share the burden. Because the burden that's on the pastor, like, it's not just for his family, but it is for your family and your family and your family. It's for every one of our families. And it's for the city of Athens. It's for the community of Athens. Wherever God places him at, he has a burden for that area. God has put a calling on his life. So whenever you pray for your pastor, don't pray for God to lift the burden that is on him, but to help us share that burden. God, take a little bit of this off of Brother Grissom and put it on me. Help me be responsible for it. Help me to pray about this. Amen? I think that's a good thing. So you pray, Lord, help me to carry some of the pastor's burden. And number two, it's faithfulness. One of the things that Brother Grissom looks for is to see who is faithful in the congregation. Yeah. And faithful people are very important people to a church. And everyone that is here that is faithful, you know who you are. I don't have to call out your name, but you know who you are. And I'm sure if Brother Grissom was standing here, he would tell you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being faithful with your attendance, with your offerings, with your tithes, with just being faithful to God. Because I feel like that's an important thing. Brother Grissom was talking about this morning about being steadfast and being unmovable. Get you a place in God. Find your place in God, first of all, and stand in it. Be faithful to God. There's an old song that says excuses. Excuses, you hear them every day. The devil will supply them to keep his church away. If people come to know the Lord, the devil always uses, so keep the folks away from church. He offers them excuses. How many of y'all know on Wednesdays and Sundays and just about the time that you get ready to go to church, something happens that, you know, you get a phone call or somebody comes knocking on the door. Hey, I haven't seen you in 25 years or whatever, and just thought we'd drop by. You know, it's church time. You going to church with us? If not, come back tomorrow, because we going to church. Amen? On Sunday mornings, whenever you feel like, amen. Step on some toes here. It's all right. On Sunday mornings, when you feel like rolling over, hitting that alarm, the holy roller syndrome, holy roller. Don't do that. Church is dependent on you. Amen. I get encouraged by seeing all of you here. If you're not here, we worry about you. If I worry about you, I know Brother Grissom worries about you. Amen? Because God has placed him in your life, and he's going to be held responsible for you to a certain extent. Because I throw that little extra one in there. But the devil will offer excuses for you to use in your life. But you need to learn to overcome that. And just be faithful. If it's church time, come to church. You know, if we're having something with our church, and you know, hey, you know what? Do I need to be there? Just be faithful. Amen? All right. Now I'm stepping on my own toes here too, okay? This is important. Not surprisingly, a Fuller Institute of Church Growth survey in 1991 shows the following results of interviews with ministers from various denominations. 90% of them work more than 46 hours a week. I'm sure Brother Grissom works more than that. 50% felt themselves unable to meet the needs of the job. 90% felt inadequate trained to cope with the ministries and what they demand. 70% say they have a lower self-esteem now compared to when they started their ministry. 70% of them. 70% also say that they do not have someone they can call a close friend. Amen. Because a pastor is somebody, or a preacher is somebody who gets in this pulpit and they preach what God has laid on their heart. And sometimes it offends us. Amen? Notice what I said. It offends us. Sometimes conviction gets a hold of our lives. And we start thinking, you know, man, who is Brother Grissom to tell me that? Well, he's been in prayer for you. And God has spoken to him and said, hey, preach this tonight. Brother Fry's going to be here. Preach this tonight. Brother Wesley's going to be here. Preach this tonight. Brother Robbie's going to be here. Sister Bacon's going to be here. Amen? Is that not how it happens? Somewhat? Amen. So anyway, those are the two things that I think are important. Faithfulness and prayer for your pastor and his wife. So, at this time, drum roll. Sister Bacon, if you will, come. We're going to offer them a little token of our appreciation. You want to have them come up here? Or just, no? But, yeah, no? But. Make sure she can hear you.
Well, of course, all of y'all know what y'all did, but y'all, it's a scrapbook, and this has letters in it from everybody. Each family has a page, and then there is gift cards to restaurants, so that's always helpful. So y'all can take that home or read it to some special from the church. So. Yeah.
This time we're going to ask Sister Cherie to come, please. We have a little something special for her. And the pastor and his wife are very important, but of course their family is also important. And we have a little token of our appreciation for you. So thank you. Amen. Sister Grissom, if you will, come. You can speak. I'm giving it to her first, because if I give it to Brother Grissom, he's going to start preaching. So.
Who knows? Sister Grissom might too. Wow. I'm kind of speechless tonight. This has just been beautiful, and Cherie really tricked me today. I thought this is unusual. She has been asking me lately to tell some stories about our ministry in Raymondville. And I was like, this, you know, usually kids don't want to hear about what mom and dad, you know, all their stories, you know, that gets kind of old. And we were just reminiscing and thinking about things. And it was really kind of fun to reminisce, because when Brother Grissom and I took our first church, we were like 23 years old, and we had a lot of fun and a lot of interesting experiences, and we always tried to shelter Cherie, and we tried to keep a lot of things from her, the personal problems of the church, because we wanted her to grow up loving the Lord and loving the people in the church. So that worked out pretty good, didn't it, Cherie? And she can go back to Raymondville, and she still has a great love for the people there, and even the restaurant owners. If she goes back, and I don't know if Joe Cantu is still alive, but he would make her a special pie, because you know, he was used to her coming in the restaurant, and even years later. But she was having to tell all these stories, and it was pretty interesting. And I'll make one story kind of brief, but some of the things Brother Grissom and I experienced in those first few years of ministry, we would somehow get to telling our stories, and people would say, wow, we've never been through anything like that. And but I guess the Lord knows he was preparing us for ministries, different places. And but one day, now Brother Grissom has his side to the story, and I have my side. But he came home, I think it was our first year of ministry in Raymondville, and he got a phone call to go out and pray for somebody in this little town, and he went out, and he was going to pray for this lady, and instead she jumped in the car with him. She was like in her 30s, 37, something like that. And she says, I'm going to town with you. And he was like, he was kind of stunned. You know, he didn't know what to say. He says, okay. And she gets in the back seat or front, I don't know where, but back. That's what he always said. We hope it was back because he was, you got to realize he's new at being a pastor. And anyway, he's going to clarify that one. But anyway, she starts talking about, have you ever heard of the death train? And he's like, uh-oh, death train. Oh, no, I don't think I have. Well, it just keeps going and going, and it drops, I don't know, I can't say it like he does, drops people off and kills them and things like this. And he's like, oh, my goodness. But the silly thing, he goes and he brings her to home with, to our house on Sunday afternoon. And I have two young people at that time from Athens that were visiting. And I, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I didn't think anything because I didn't know anything about her. And she comes in and he says, we got another guest for lunch. I go, okay. So I cooked, which was, you know, unusual now because I don't cook as much. But I cooked a big meal, had a big chocolate cake, and I served everybody. And I said, would you like a piece of cake, Ann? And she says, yes, but she says, I'm going to get my own. So she goes in the kitchen and she gets the whole cake, the rest of it, and she sits down there and she just eats it all. And she takes my butcher knife, and I, you know, I'm so dumb, I'm not paying much attention. I didn't, you know, I just thought, well, that's kind of unusual. She's really hungry or something. And then later she starts talking kind of strange, so I get the young people and I lock them in our bedroom. And Brother Grissom says I leave her to him. But anyway, I leave some counseling for him to do. And then that evening, I'm like, we're nervous, and the young people are going, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I said, well, we're going to go to church like usual. And excuse me. So then we're in the living room trying to have something to drink before we go to church. And there's Ann sitting across the room. All of a sudden, she gets this gleam in her eye, and she gets into her purse, and she goes, I've got something I want you to see. And she starts going like this. And she says, I got a knife. And we're all like, ugh. We're trying not to do that. And she's going, and I know how to use it too. And we're all over there like, oh. And then he says, but you're going to give it to me. So he walks over there and bravely goes and he sticks out his hand and waits for her to give it to him. So she gives it to him. And then later on, we go to church, and there we have service, and there's Ann laying on the back row, you know, just laying down in service. And then Sister Hart comes into the picture. Sister Hart had a sick baby, Jonathan. She was rocking him. He was crying and screaming. She had to go out with the baby, and here goes Ann out there. And she looks at Sister Hart, and she's mad at her. And she says,
You were with him last night.
What?
You were with him last night.
You were with him last night. And she didn't hear too good. And she goes, yeah, yes. He gives that real sweet smile. Yes. Yes, I was, yes. And then she was all mad at her. And she was, somebody had to go and rescue Sister Hart because she was about
Sister Hart didn't understand what she said. She was being polite. She wasn't agreeing to it. She was being polite.
And she, I don't know, she started chasing her around, and so one of the saints had to go rescue her. And then after church, you know, you can imagine what kind of service we had that night. But after service, I'm like, oh, Jesus, what are we going to do? And I said, Margie, what are we going to do? She says, well, we'll ride together. We got to get her some help. Well, Brother Grissom and Brother Cole, they take her and front of the seat, and she sits in the middle between these two guys, and she's telling all kinds of strange stories, which I won't repeat. And Margie and I are going in her van over to the hospital, and we're hoping to get her some help. And And she gets, we call the police over there, and then they come out, and she sees the police, and she gets all upset. So the guys didn't know it. She pulls out scissors and starts stabbing the policeman. And so they admit her to the hospital, and that was just one story with Ann. And she had other family members. But we can't go on with all that we dealt with our first probably 10 years of ministry. And we protected Cherie from many, many things that she wouldn't have been aware of. And I'll tell one other funny story. Brother Grissom, he was baptizing a new convert, and we taught some Bible studies, and you know, this is just the Lord helping him, but he won at least 80 to 90% of all the Bible studies he taught. But that one particular Bible study, the lady wanted to be baptized, so she's been baptized that night, and somebody got on the phone and told her son that we were brainwashing his mother. So he come up, little did we know all this, but he come up, after, it was already over, the baptism was, but he was so upset that Brother Grissom was at the back, kind of at the back of the church, midway to the back, and he grabbed Brother Grissom from behind, and Brother Grissom didn't know what to expect. And he grabbed him, and he hit him so hard that he knocked into a pew and broke the whole pew. And poor Brother Grissom went home with big old bruises. And but a lot of things have happened, and some of it, just we laugh about it now. And I guess if we probably thought about what we'd go through, maybe we wouldn't have been able to make it. But God has been with us all the time, and through the thick and the thin, and through all the pain and the tears, and we've had a lot of joy and a lot of fun stories, and we haven't gone through that kind of thing here, those particular things, but the Lord has been with us. And you know what we have been through, you've been a church that has stood by our side and been supportive, and just the fact that you're honoring us tonight, it just means so much. And the scrapbook, oh my goodness, that's going to be some treasured memories. And I appreciate every one of you. And we've been talking about lately how we have a good church, and it's been so peaceful the last few months, and it just feels like the Lord is bringing unity to our church. Do y'all feel that? And it's not something that can be, you can't buy that. And it's just something that the Lord has to do, bring us peace and unity, and only He can do that. I love y'all so much, and hope I didn't go out of order telling y'all crazy stories. We have a lot, but that's just something that was kind of funny. We laugh about now, and we've, in our ministry, come a long ways, but never know what's going to happen in life. But I know one thing, I want to get to heaven, and I don't want anything to stop me. So God bless you, brother.
At this time, our pastor, Johnny Grissom. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Isn't this fun? You're learning things you didn't know. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Cherie, for your kind words. We've certainly been blessed. We only had one child because when you get it right the first time, you don't have to keep trying.
Amen.
Amen. Some folks try a long time and never get it right. So, but we got it right the first time. We appreciate Cherie very much. She has been a great blessing and a great addition to our ministry. And she's always been a part of it. When she was 12 years old, she was teaching Sunday school in Columbia. So we've had some very very interesting experiences. I just thought of when they were teaching Columbia, we were in a little building, and we were not pastoring. We were just helping at that church. It was our home church. We were in town, which was not often. And so there was not any room, and so they actually had their Sunday school class out on the stairwell. And while they were teaching Sunday school, these people came and went up to this business and started carrying stuff down. And so they offered to help. not realizing they were stealing the stuff. So on Sunday morning, they helped rob a store. What a Sunday school class. All kinds of stories. Hey, amen. We've had some experiences. Amen. At Bible college, when I was teaching there, that was what they said. You sure got a lot of stories. I said, yeah, I do. Amen. Just so many good stories, so many good memories. When I started this journey, I just told the Lord I wanted to find something worth giving my life to. I didn't want to come to the end of my days having just done something and then when it was all over feel like, well, it wasn't worth all that. So I wanted something that was worth giving life to and worth exchanging life for, and this certainly has been that. It's been a great, great journey. And I have appreciated my wife to be with me. She has, I tell you, she's been with me in some very interesting situations. Amen. And she's been a rock. And she's never complained. I've never heard her complain. You know, she worked very hard to get her degree so she could be a teacher, and she got all comfortable doing that. And then I said, well, the Lord's called us to Columbia. So here we go. Amen. And we get down there, and that was some wonderful experiences, and to come back home and be involved in other areas of ministry. But I appreciate her very much. She's always put ministry first. She's always done that. She gives a lot all week at school. She still does teaching, and she gives so much. I appreciate her students. I appreciate her. Every year there'll be numbers of students that'll come up and say, Miss Grissom, you're a favorite teacher. And it's because of who she is, not because just of her. But she just puts herself into it. She loves them. Ministers at school as well as at church. But when she gets home, she's the pastor's wife. And she always ministers here as well. So I appreciate all the time and the effort that she puts into all that she does. Plus that, she puts up with me. Amen. Well, that's a reward all in itself. So thank you, Sister Grissom, for these 38 great years of ministry that we've had together. Amen. And then I appreciate each of you, and thank you for this beautiful album. And we certainly will enjoy the food. But when the food's gone, we'll certainly for years and years enjoy your thoughts, and of course I need to read them first. But I think we're going to enjoy that, and so we look forward to it. Thank you so much, and we love you, and it's our privilege to serve you, and that's what we're here for. Amen. Sometimes people say, oh, I just hate to be a bother. Well, tell you what, it's a privilege to serve. Amen. I enjoy serving the Lord, and by serving you, that's how I do that. And so thank you for the privilege of being your pastor. And I believe God's got some even greater things in store ahead. Amen. And so we're going to just keep pressing on, aren't we? Amen. God bless you. Thank you for this beautiful service. Amen. Brother Bacon, God bless you, sir.
Yes, that's it. How are we doing the food over there, Sister Bacon? Does everybody go over and get in line? And nope. I see her mama telling her something. So that's yeah. She wants everybody. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's stand. Let's go ahead and offer thanks over our food and our thanks for our pastor and his wife and our church. Amen. If you will, pray with me. Dear God, we ask you to, first of all, bless the food over and bless the bless the fellowship, God. But we are here tonight, God, to honor our pastor and his wife, God, and we thank you for sending them to Athens, Texas. God, we thank you for the burden that they have on their life. God, we thank you for the calling that you have put on their life, God, and we just ask you to help us to share their vision for the church, God, to help us to have revival in these last days. God, and we ask you to help us to share the burden that Brother Grissom has, Lord God, and Sister Grissom. And we ask you in the name of Jesus, God, just to help us in the next couple of weeks, in the next couple of months, God, to fill this auditorium, Lord God, with people that are hungry, people that are broken. Lord God, this is a spiritual hospital, and we ask you to help us to reach out to lost souls and bring them to you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
See you over in the annex. Lord bless you.